Everybody wants to become somebody special in their lives. Everybody has dreams. Our company allowed me to crank up that dream machine again in my life, whereas before it was starting to shut down, Tom.
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave. Hello, everybody. This is Tom Matthews. I'm here with one of our great leaders from Denver. We have Trevor Jensen here. He's one of our CEO MD leaders and a guy who's been one of our consistently one of our top earners over the years. And we were just talking earlier today about some of his background, and I think it's fascinating the threads of success that people have in their career before they come to our company and become part of what we're doing here. And so, Trevor, talk about when you were young and you were kind of trying to decide what you wanted to be when you grow up. What were some of the things that you did that you think might have been a perfect setup for becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, I grew up in a small town in Idaho, Eagle, Idaho. It was a one-stoplight town. And, you know, the farm life teaches tremendous strengths. It gives you discipline. It gives you a hard work ethic. And I remember getting on the back of a motorcycle every morning at 5:30 in the morning. My brother and I would head out to the fields, the barley, the wheat, the potato fields in Idaho, and we'd move sprinkler pipes, irrigation pipes from 6 to 9 a.m. in the morning, and we'd repeat that again at night from 6 to 9 p.m. at night. And then we'd come back to, actually during the day at our home, and we would irrigate the pastures and feed the cows and take care of the 5-acre small farm with 10 head of cattle that where we lived. And I realized one day, Tom, that I didn't want to earn a living or make a living, you know, using my muscles or doing hard, tough labor out on the farm. Although it was a great upbringing and a great life, I realized that I wanted to work in a tall skyscraper with a cherry desk and air conditioning. And so that means I needed to go to college. I needed to get an education. And so I went off to a top university in the United States, and somebody whispered in my ear as I was trying to decide what degree to get. They said, "Hey, Trevor, there's always a need for a bookkeeper." And I don't know why that struck a chord, Tom. I laugh and chuckle at myself to this day. But when they said that to me, it just lit me up. I was like, wow, that sounds incredible. Job security. I'll always have a job. There's always a need for a bookkeeper. And so that hit me so strongly, Tom, that I went and actually got a master's in accounting. And I went to work for the largest accounting firm, the largest public accounting firm in the world by the name of Arthur Andersen. And I started pouring my heart and soul and energy into every ounce of aspect of that to climb that corporate ladder. And that was where some of the things about my upbringing, Tom, I think that hard work ethic, that discipline, that focus where we were raised in Idaho on the farm.
Well, now, how do you get from having that background, making the decision to study accounting, getting a master's, getting a job at a great company? At what point did you become dissatisfied with that, where you became open to maybe some entrepreneurial type of angles?
Well, it's interesting. I was in school in my college days, and I would pay my way through school going to work at various companies, one of which was Sears and Roebuck. I answered the customer service line there. I was a customer service specialist and helped people with that, and I enjoyed that people interaction. But as I got into the corporate world, I realized that I really didn't like accounting. As oddly as that sounds, Tom, you know, I had gone through really kind of blood, sweat, and tears to fight and grind my way through getting a bachelor's and even a master's of accounting degree. And I'm working at one of the most prestigious, largest accounting firms in the world. And I thought I was going to have this dream life, this dream corporate life, and someday become either the CFO or the CEO or president of a large, maybe Fortune 500 company. And I woke up one day about 4 years into that career, and I realized I was broke. I was living paycheck to paycheck. I really didn't like what I was doing. And my wife was screaming at me to get home because I was missing our family events. I was working, you know, many weeks, 60 to 80 hours a week. And so the frustration level, Tom, that I had experienced in that corporate world, being passed over by promotions, and somebody else was deciding how much I could make every year, which ultimately decided what neighborhoods I could live in and where I could travel and be with my family. And so I finally, you know, I felt like I was in a sleeping bag with the top zipped over, and I needed a way to get out. I wanted a way to become financially free. And Tom, you know what I really dreamed about with strong, intense passion was I dreamt about making $250,000 a year in golfing on Fridays. That was what I wanted a vehicle. I wanted a career, a path that I could get to $250,000 a year in golf on Fridays. And I thought if I could find that pathway, all my dreams could, at the time I thought all my dreams could come true. And I realized later that you need a lot more even than that. But that's what got me really highly motivated, Tom.
Well, that's the same thing that happens to, I think, most entrepreneurs. At some point, I mean, I know for me, my background was accounting too. My dad had a CPA firm. And when I worked there a little bit when I was in college and then right after college, it just became very clear to me that was not for me. But you know, when you're 18, you got to pick a major. You pick one you think makes sense like you did. And then all of a sudden you're doing it and you go, gosh, is this what I'm going to do the rest of my life? And I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly, but I just kind of got this suspicion it wasn't going to be that. That wasn't, just wasn't the thing that was going to be the vehicle to my dreams. And I think that happens to a lot of people. And the accounting profession, first of all, I think it's one of the harder business majors to have. It's a tough study. And then when you get out, like you said, typically you end up getting some kind of a, you know, a lot of people that run companies end up being former CPAs that were kind of went right through the ranks quickly. But that's also a little bit of luck and a little bit of timing. And I wanted to make my luck and I wanted to make my timing. I know you felt the same way. We've talked about that before. So now at what point do you decide that maybe becoming an entrepreneur and maybe an entrepreneur who not just does a business, like you go from maybe working for a big firm to opening your own accounting firm, but maybe go from being an employee to being an entrepreneur who then starts building a team. Talk about your mindset when it came to building a team.
Well, you know, Tom, as a CPA, and as you can imagine, Tom, the mindset of a typical accountant or a CPA is very technical. It's very detail-oriented. It's right. Not really typically a visionary thinking person. It's not typically right. Somebody right. Who can, you know, look out in the future and say, you know, we're gonna conquer the world or we're gonna own all of the financial services industry. It's just not a common average CPA or accountant's mindset. And that's where I would place myself. And so because of that, the idea of moving from having a job and being an employee to becoming an entrepreneur, where really what I was going to earn and what I was going to be paid and how I was going to provide for my family was going to be based on now very directly related to the what I did every day and the results that I could bring to the table. I wanted that. And that was one of the frustrations I had with corporate America is I had to wait for them to either like my hairdo or my shoelaces to get promoted or get into the corner office. I wanted a merit-based system, Tom, that didn't have ties to politics and brown nosing and non-merit-based things that happen in corporate America still to this day that bring a lot of frustration and dissatisfaction to so many corporate workers and employees. And so that frustration drove me so much, Tom, that I was willing to make that move into the entrepreneurial world. And the way I did it, Tom, was just flat out intensity and passion and desire and drive to become somebody great, to own my own future, to become financially free, to call my own shots, to be my own boss. And those emotions and those passions are what allowed me to leave a job security. Remember, that's why I got my degree. It was for job security and move into what in the initial phase felt like an insecure place to be, but it has become a dream come true for me. And it provided true financial freedom and really the true job security now is nobody can fire me, Tom.
Right.
Nobody can send me walking papers. I call my own shots. I'm my own boss. I'm the CEO of my own business. And now I truly actually have job security for the first time in my life.
Well, I think when you become an entrepreneur, there's a certain uncertainty that comes with that. But you don't realize in the beginning that uncertainty is actually what makes it unlimited.
Yeah.
The fact that you it might not work out is why when it does work out, it's so darn good and it's so big and so potentially, you know, amazing for a new career. And for you, of course, that took you from making a living to now you're very soon be one of our next seven-figure earners. And when I think about somebody making seven figures, I think about somebody who's a professional athlete or somebody who, you know, started some tech company or something. But to think that people like us can be have an accounting background and have dreams and want to find a vehicle as big as our dreams. Talk for a second about the moment that you looked at our business for the first time. What did you see?
Well, wow. I saw I'll do my best to even articulate what I saw. It blew my mind, really, of the possibilities. I saw a marketplace that had a need for people who could give solid advice and solid guidance. I saw a need for people who wanted to get out of corporate America and take control of their own futures, just like I wanted to do. And, you know, a chance, Tom, for a $100 AMA fee to come on board with us here at WealthWave and to build my own distribution business, my financial services distribution business for $100 and an AMA fee, it blew my mind. I ultimately could have my own, almost in effect, in my own insurance company, my own financial institution in effect, and have all the backing that we have of the product providers, the investment companies, the institutions that back our company, and give us all that backing me up. And then when I sit down across the table from maybe an employee at a corporation in America, Fortune 500 company that wants to make a move into the entrepreneurial world, I can bring that strength to the table and have it at my fingertips. And you know, at the end of the day, Tom, I saw a way to make $250,000 a year in golf on Fridays and have a massive passive income stream coming in that I couldn't before that have.
What did you feel like when you looked at this, that your accounting background was going to be a great advantage to you because this is financial? What were you thinking?
Absolutely. You know, somebody told me once that accounting is the language of business. And so, not to use too technical terms, but the ability to look at a balance sheet or an income statement or a prospectus and understand that vocabulary, understand the terms, what they're talking about, the footnotes, it just gave me a confidence and an edge, I believe, over somebody who doesn't have that background and those skills. I felt like it just gave me that confidence to speak with people clearly and directly and give them clear guidance and counsel in their lives financially and in terms of their careers. I felt like if a CPA and an accountant could go from totally scared and nervous about job security and moving into the entrepreneurial world, I feel like there isn't a soul I can't talk to in these United States and demonstrate our company and our platform, our compensation structure, and why that just absolutely blows away trying to eke out a living working somewhere either hourly or a salary job where you have total limits put on you and you got to politic your way to the top and hope that there's only one guy and gal that can become a CEO of a company. What were my odds of ever becoming that, Tom? The odds were not in my favor. I put the odds in my favor here when I walked into WealthWave and our company here.
Well, you know, I think that when you consider becoming an entrepreneur, it's so wide open, you know, all the possibilities of it, that it really gets you dreaming. And when I think about, you know, the most trusted professional that I know of in the marketplace is a CPA, somebody who has that background, you're trained, you're licensed, your whole life's work has been being that person of trust and of honor. And when you shift part of that over to being a team builder and a leader, in addition to what you do for your clients, I think it makes one of the best backgrounds to ever consider this. And you know what? CPAs have dreams. And quite often, the vehicle that a CPA finds themselves in, the job or the income level, it's not the level where dreams come true. For some it is, but for many it's not. And to talk about that for a second, what was the point where you realized this was going to go from being maybe an alternative to being a CPA to being the best replacement maybe on planet Earth?
Well, so one thing I know, Tom, that I've learned when I came on board in this company is that everybody has a dream. And when somebody first told me that, I thought that sounded a little cheesy, Tom, I'll be honest with you, as a CPA.
Sure.
That had not been a word or term that we'd ever used in my previous career. But everybody has a dream. And people oftentimes will tell me, well, how can I talk to this CPA or how can I talk to this person or the other? And what I've realized is that it's the same. Whether it's a CPA or whether it's a lawyer, doctor, the garbage man, the janitor at the school, a banker, a vice president of sales, it doesn't really matter. Everybody wants to become somebody special in their lives. Everybody has dreams. Our company allowed me to crank up that dream machine again in my life, whereas before it was starting to shut down, Tom. Right. My dream machine was starting to close down. I was starting to move into a rut. And shrink my dreams to fit into that rut. This company opened that back up for me, Tom, and has allowed me to I still have so much more to do, but allowed me to build a dream business and live a dream life. And of course, the background of the CPA helps from some vocabulary and terminology But I believe that what trumps all of that is the character of a person. If they got big dreams and desires combined with some dissatisfaction in their life, where they feel like they've got a glass ceiling at their job, or they don't like working with the people they work with. I always say, hey, I'm looking for guys that want to make $250,000 a year and fire their boss and buy their life back.
Wow.
Do you know anybody that wants to do that?
Well, what a great way to say that. Well, talk for a second about technology, because I know you're a guy that's you have a lot of technology, but you probably consider yourself a late adopter. You've said that to me before. But talk about, if somebody's out there, maybe they think they're not high tech, talk about the high tech part of what we do and how you, what role you see that playing going forward.
It is so important in our world today and in our society today to utilize the strength and the strength of technology, the strength of the internet, obviously, and the videos and the smartphones, the proliferation that has gone throughout really the entire world, and especially here in the United States, is undeniable. And so I know for me, Tom, that it's undeniable. And so I've got to move quickly to get on board with technology. And I am on board. I've always known that technology is important. What has been maybe a little bit of a challenge in my mind, Tom, is that we are in a human being touch business.
Right.
And so it's I've got to meet somebody, and I feel like that I've got to disturb them and intrigue them to come into our business. And I feel like sometimes that just pushing play on a video doesn't have possibly the same power and strength of somebody looking me eye to eye and face to face, knee to knee in my office or in my conference room. And so what the technology, though, Tom, is doing and is now just starting to explode across my team is helping us on the front end, Tom, of reaching out those prospects at a pace. You know, as we talked about today, every second a new video can be launching and a new person can be introduced to our company, whereas, you know, in the old way of our business, it was once a week in a live meeting.
Right.
We're going to continue to do the live meeting, certainly, and that's going to be a continued source of success in our business. But the technology just allows it now to do 24/7, Tom.
It does.
And cast a wider net. I can reach to, you know, Massachusetts now and Washington and North Dakota without having to get on a plane and sit in a live meeting and talk about our business. And I can sift through, if you will, all the people that may or may not want to do this business. I can sift through that so much more quickly now with the use of technology. And maybe someday artificial intelligence will add to that as well, and allowing us to reach people so much faster. And those that have an interest are going to say yes and show up at our office really ready to go and learn what do I do next, instead of coming to the office to check out if they ought to even be in business with us. So I know technology brings that in a powerful way. And I'm grateful, obviously, Tom, to you and your entire team that it has the vision and foresight to bring this and help guys like myself who maybe aren't on the first adopting stage of technology in our businesses.
Right, right. Well, that's all very true. And it's a process. You know, you don't just say out with the old and in with the new. You figure out how to blend it, what that blend is for you, and then success makes the rules. If technology starts becoming your friend and working for you, you put a little more direction that way. And if if not, or if it's a little slower for you, whatever, that's fine. Let's talk about expansion just for a minute, because I think one of the things that technology does allows you to have a bigger, more geographically dispersed reach. But I remember when my dad had his CPA firm for 40 years, I asked him one day, why don't you have offices all over the place? Why you just do it basically out of one? He had a whole floor of a building in downtown Cincinnati. He said, well, every time I want to go open another office, I got to go find the space, and I got to pay for it, and I got to put desks and furniture and computers and hire people and pay them salaries. And so expansion is not just expansion, it's expensive. And I thought, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And now I look at our business and I realize someone like you has got people spread all over the United States. But we can grow at the speed of dreams. You can just decide you want to expand. And if somebody becomes part of your business, if they do well, there's a potential for revenue to come your way. If they decide they don't like it or don't do well or whatever, it doesn't cost you anything. So you can expand at that speed. Talk about that for a second, because I think that's an important thing for people to pick up.
No, that's huge, Tom. You know, WealthWave, really now we have offices all over the United States. And so that expansion now just got sped up at an extremely fast pace. That combined with the technology of the ways we can do that, Tom, allows us to expand at probably 10 times what it was even maybe 10 to 20 years ago. So that that technology speed, the wealth wave offices that we already have, that combination is incredibly powerful. What I will also say in addition to that is, as we expand, every one of us wants to grow our businesses and grow the Wealth Wave brand and grow our offices quickly. I believe there's some critical things in that expansion. Number one is the environment that we put our people into is absolutely critical, right? We owe our people two things. Number one, an environment, a culture and an environment of success. And number two, we owe them an example that they can follow, that if they'll follow this example and follow these steps, they too can become financially free and make their dreams come true. So that expansion, when you expand into an office, the way I think about that, Tom, is I want to make sure there's a great environment that people can plug into that just kind of sucks them up into success just like that.
Right.
And number two, I want to make sure there's a leader in that office that the new agents that come on board, the new associates, can look at that example and say, okay, if I follow Tom Matthews, let's say, in that office, I'm going to make it too. I'm going to make $250,000 a year in golf on Fridays too, right? So I think that we need to expand aggressively and rapidly using the technology and using WealthWave and all the tools that we have at our fingertips, also making sure that we do it bringing an environment, a hot environment, for continued success and training and growth and development, leadership development. And there's always got to be a leader and ideally multiple leaders giving a daily, hour by hour example to the team of this is how you do it. This is how you close a sale. This is how you close on bringing a guy down to our office and introduce him to the rest of our leadership team. This is how, you know, you make a bunch of money here, whatever it might be.
Sure.
So environment and example are massive as we continue to absolutely expand using technology and tools.
Well, I also think that dreams evolve. I'll give you an example. I know your story, and I know that you wanted to take off on Fridays and play golf, and that's great. But I don't think your original dream was that you'd be playing the great golf courses of the world. You wouldn't know Augusta National as if you're a professional tour player. You played Augusta a couple times, and four times. So, I mean, there's people that are professional golfers that haven't even seen the place. And you played there four times, and you know what it's like to walk up 18 fairway with a caddy behind you with a white jumpsuit on, rubbing off your club, clubbing you for the approach shot on the green, and you think it's Sunday at the Masters. And what a dream that is to come true. And many other courses, you played all over the world. Talk about how dreams evolve and how you got to be an entrepreneur for that to happen. In the corporate world, as you mentioned, quite often you got to shrink your dreams to fit the size of your opportunity and just take it. You just got to get used to it.
Right.
But here, where you've got an ever-expanding, unlimited, no top end to it kind of a business, what happens when your dreams start growing like that?
Well, I think when everybody comes into the business, there's moments of interaction that they had with somebody along the way that impacted their lives. And one of the moments that impacted me, Tom, before I joined our group here, was when I ran into a guy that was associated with my brother.
Sure.
And he had just literally come back from playing Augusta National Golf Club, where they play the Masters every year.
Wow.
And the guy was about 28 years old, and he had just crossed over about $350,000 in earnings in our company. And we're in our 20s. I'm a little bit younger than him, and I'm being introduced to this guy that just came back from playing Augusta National. I literally, Tom, thought he was fibbing. I thought he was making up a story to try to impress me.
Right.
Because no 28-year-old's going and playing Augusta National.
Right, I'm
like, how did you kill somebody? Did you steal
something from somebody
and go to Augusta National? And I got to play 18 holes with this gentleman in Las Vegas. And he talked to me about, just not very casually, not very aggressively, about that experience at Augusta National, and to another golfer,
you loved it.
Playing Augusta National is like a spiritual experience,
right?
Walking on the hallowed grounds. And so that started, you're talking about dreams evolving, my dream machine started to crank up a little bit there, and it's like, wow. I said, and I know, if you know a little bit about golf, right, it's about connections and knowing the right people,
right?
And so I said, if this guy just got done playing Augusta National, maybe there's just this outside chance that if I got in business with these guys, I might be able to play Augusta.
Your chances went up.
Yeah, it just went up, right?
That's right.
And that's just one example of how my life changed. I remember when I got the call to go play Augusta National. It was on a Monday, and they said, do you want to go play Augusta on Wednesday? my calendars just got free the whole week, right? And I got to drive down Magnolia Lane and walk onto the car. I felt like I wanted to take my shoes off.
Right.
Going off to the first tee, and I'll save those stories for another day, another time. But that's an absolute dream come true for me playing those types of places. Pebble Beach, where Jack Nicklaus said if he had one last round, where would he play? Pebble Beach.
Right.
You know, and of course we go to Hawaii every year, and sometimes multiple times a year.
All the great courses over there.
And I won't go through all the names, but you get out the top 100 list, and this company has provided me a chance to play many of those top 100 courses in the United States that otherwise I'd be sitting in a cube trying to look at an accounts receivable ledger, Tom, without this company.
Well, so other than the obvious that we're in the financial industry, we do things for clients, we serve families and all that, but from our perspective as business executives, business leaders, talk about when you're a business leader and you build a business big enough, the choices that it gives you, like where your kids go to school and where you live and just all those things that part of dreaming coming true. Talk about that for a second.
Absolutely. You know, you stirred up and sparked up in my mind something that this company has provided for my family, for my oldest son. In his junior year of high school, he chose golf as his sport, right? And if you're in Colorado, it snows in the winter, of course.
Right, right.
And he wanted to play golf at a Division I school. And in order to do that, he needed to be able to practice in the wintertime. And so I was able to fly him and myself down to Florida to the IMG Academies, to the David Ledbetter Academy of Golf, right? Where Michelle Wee and Tiger Woods has spent time, and Andre Agassi worked on his tennis game, and Martina Navratilova, all the great athletes of the world that you would know, all these household names. There are these 24/7 golf academies and tennis schools and football and basketball, right? Chauncey Billups went down to IMG Academies, for example. Anyways, long story short here, I was able to negotiate a scholarship for my son because it's about $80,000 a semester to go down to IMG Academies.
Wow.
So we negotiated a scholarship, and he took off from January through June of that year, and we sent him down to Florida. He stayed in a dorm, and he played golf in the morning and went to school in the afternoon at a private school there on campus at IMG. And because of that, he then was able to receive a scholarship to play golf at a Division I school in the Mountain West Conference and live out his dream of playing golf.
Wow.
At almost a pro level. And of course, me as a dad, that's a dream come true for me. And I was able to go to every single one of his golf tournaments, Tom. That's 40 flights, 40 hotel rooms. And throughout his entire college career, I was able to walk the fairways along the fairways and watch my son live out his dreams. And this business made that dream come true for me, Tom.
It made it possible.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you work hard and you work smart and you do good things for people and you have a servant heart. You get choices like that. And I think everybody would love to do great things like that for their family. They just got to find a business opportunity where greatness is possible.
Absolutely.
And so that's what it takes. Well, Trevor, this has been great to have a chance to visit. I know we've been in business together for a long time, but we both feel like the best times are ahead of us. I think that the world has conspired for us, that people don't feel good about where they are in their career. They, just like many people, don't feel that good about their finances. And we have a chance to affect both. And so you've expanded well beyond being a CPA and well beyond being just a business leader. You're actually both. And so congratulations on all your success. I'm really proud of the job you do every day for families, both the families that trust you with their money and the families that trust you with their careers. So you've done a great job, and I know the very, very bright future ahead. So thanks for being with us today. I look forward to visiting with you again soon.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Thank you for your vision and your foresight. You know, the power of associating with others like yourself has influenced me and my family and my entire team. And so thanks for having me on today and to be able to associate with you in this company.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.